for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Thanksgiving Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, November the 30th, 2013. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, speaking on filling our body with the Holy Spirit.
Brother Pinson, Nikki Pinson, what a blessing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. We want to hear exactly what you have to say, Lord. We ask you to change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning about filling our bodies with the Holy Spirit. Filling our body with the Holy Spirit. John 20, verse 19. In the same day of evening, meaning the first day of the week when the doors were shut, this is the dead resurrection. The doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the middle. I tell you, things change when Jesus comes. Remember when these same disciples were out on the sea and he came, praise God, and when he got into the boat, the storm ceased. And if he'll just stand in the middle of your situation, praise God, how it will change. Whatever it is, praise God, your church. And he said to them, peace be to you. It's interesting, that's what he wants to say. Peace be to you. And when he had so said, he showed to them his hands and his side. The Lord's not intimidated or reluctant to show evidence of anything, praise God. To give confirmation and know that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. We're fools if we jump out without that. Then were the disciples glad. They were glad when they saw the Lord. Does seeing the Lord make you glad? Praise God. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be to you. Again, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Now Jesus did two things for his disciples here, for them and for their ministry. First for them, then for their ministry. You remember that Jesus selected these men to be first with him, and then he sent them out. If you're not with him first, you have nothing to give of value. Just a bunch of junk, distractions that take up space that the real could be there. So he did two things. First, he prophetically breathed on their bodies. He breathed on them, on their bodies. And then he spoke a prophetic word into them. Now, Jesus was a prophet, priest, and king. And prophets often say and do things that are prophetic. And prophets still do this. I ministered a lot of times for a neighboring pastor. He was our presbyter in a large church. But he told me one time, if the minister called people up, visited minister and prayed for him, he'd go right along the side and listen to what they were saying. And he told me, he said, you know, he didn't too much light on the side. And he said, you know, I heard him say things, and I know those people, and that's just not so about them. But have you figured out that God speaks what's going to be? What's going to be, praise God. And when you receive a word from God, and be careful where you get your word, but if you receive a word from God and it doesn't seem to fit you, where's your faith at? Believe God for it, praise God. Hallelujah. Don't you know it's a miracle working God?
Amen.
And we're a good place to start when it comes to miracles, praise God. Now, prophetic means predictive or foreshadowing words or signs. And I say signs because there are Old Testament prophets that dug in the wall, that laid on their side, that hid cloths, you know, and that's prophetic, you understand. And I want you to see this morning. Breathing on them was prophetic. Praise God. He's not just pumping air. It's prophetic. Now notice that Jesus breathed on their body, because it was their body that was to receive and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Their body. Is your body this morning filled with the Holy Spirit? All my spirit is. Well, that's wonderful, but you better get your body filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why do we continue to attempt to separate our body from our spirit when it comes to the things of God? As if God's not interested in our body, or that our body has no value or worth. Doesn't matter what your body looks like, the size, the color, or anything. It's important to God this morning. And I want to say again, if you don't give Him your body, nothing else is going to work. You read your Bible all you want to. Pray all you want to, but if you don't give Him your body, it's not going to work. Now, when I say give Him your body, and I want to say this, I'm not talking just about quit cussing and this and that, you know, keeping the law, so to speak, with your body. But I'm talking about when He wants to manifest His power on your body and through your body. If He wants to take you and shake you like the leaves on a tree, let Him do it. Who are you to tell Him no? Now, don't do it yourself. That always bothered me growing up in Pentecostal church. We had some that were going to make the Holy Spirit move. He's big enough to move on His own. He's a big boy. I don't mean that disrespectful, but He can take care of His own business. Praise God. Now, of course, many want to maintain control of their body for the purpose or out of pride and lust. But the path to our heart travels first through our body. Many that are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit make a mistake by only offering up their heart to God as a living sacrifice. And therefore, they become discouraged when nothing happens. It's just amazing. They stand there waiting for God to take their jaw and move it. He can. But it's you and Him together. It's you being sensitive. Oh, praise God. Being sensitive. You feel a stirring in your body? Yield, praise God. How many people you pray for? Now, I just want to say, usually I know if they're going to fall out. I don't know how else to call it, whatever term you use. And listen, that's been happening forever, I guess. Uncle Tom's Cabin, if you read that, the Methodist would fall out and carry them home in wagons. So this is not new. Excuse me. Read the book. It's in that book. And I read the book. I know it's in the book. Well, it's all through the history. Maria Woodworth Petter, she said there'd be hundreds. Like she said, it looked like a battlefield. Praise God. So I'm not telling you, just if God's, I see them resist, you know, bless their heart. Well, that dignity, you know, that pride that's in there. Well, I don't want to get hurt. Praise God. If it's God, you're not going to get hurt. But I've been praying for them to come and they push you down. I don't like that. I might slap them. He's pushing me down. And one guy one time told me, it's like he put his leg behind your knee and tripped me down. Oh, stay away from that. Praise God. But at the same time, let God. Let God. You're missing a blessing. Your old stinking pride, you know, is costing you. Thank you, dude. Will you let Him have your body? Well, praise God. It will do it God's way, then the blessing will come. No. Romans 12, and I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your bodies. He did not say your spirit, your mind, your soul. He said your body. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And again, I want to stress, not just that you live righteous with your body, which we must, but that you let Him have your body, whatever He wants to do. Praise God. We want you to take off running. One time, the church I grew up in, I was there 15 years. I assisted pastor before I left. It's a large church, and Sometimes a pianist, the Holy Ghost, he's an English teacher. Holy Ghost would come on him, he'd off that bench running around, and then Holy Ghost would get on the organ player. We just sing Church of Christ style praise because he's busy running around the church. And you said, well, no, you had to know. These people wouldn't have done it unless it had been the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that. One time I remember, it seemed like the whole congregation began to sing in tongues. Oh, I've never heard, until this day, I've never heard anything so beautiful in my life. Nobody sang the same thing, but it's perfect harmony. It's like the angels singing. But then I had a man just come by one time and said, now, this church needs to sing in tongues, and the pastor's going to start. I said, no, sir, that's not the way it works. Holy Ghost can do that. He can bring that about, praise God. Don't want anything that I'm making happen. Now, we need to give the Lord our body, and then He'll give us the promise of His Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts cannot operate separate from our body. You're never going to give a message in tongues unless He uses your body. You can't speak a prophetic word or give a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. You can't do these things unless you give Him your body. Praise God. Now, so Jesus is prophetically breathed on their body. And he spoken to them. And it happened just like He said. Now, His prophetic words explain the sign of breathing on them. That He just done prophetically. Now, in less than 50 days, what Jesus had done and what He had said prophetically came to pass or was fulfilled. So we'll go down to the upper room. All praise God. That's why we're here this morning. That upper room. I was in Jerusalem years ago, and they said it was the upper room. I don't know if it was or not. Let me tell you something. I appreciate going there. But I was glad to get home and get my prayer closet. If you think you're going to have spiritual experiences over there, praise God. Stay home, it's cheaper, get more. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Nobody sitting there being jealous or schisms in the church. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. I think I've told you, I felt that twice in my life. And I looked around to see who turned the fan on. Yeah. Oh, praise God. Everything that's in that book, you can experience. In fact, you're going to live that book out. When you read about the difficult things that happened to these men and women of God, know it's coming to you. In some form, it's coming. That's all right. It won't bite like you think it will. Praise God. It'll be a blessing. And there appeared to them cloven or divided tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now the Holy Spirit gives the utterance. Not their minds. That's the difference. I'm speaking in English right now. I went to Mexico about 25 years and did missionary work, and still I can say taco bueno or something, but I'm just brain dead when it comes to learning another language, but not when it comes to speaking in tongues. I know a precious man, he's 87 or 88 now, that in the deliverance ministry, he's the one that came to Holy Highway. And he had a bleeding hemorrhage in his brain. And he had a stroke. He can't hardly put two words together, but he can pray in tongues. He can pray in tongues. So God's still using him. Praise God. He said, well, no, that's best. That's the best. Praise God. Because we don't know how to praise at all. Well, now, their minds didn't give the utterance, but they did the speaking. Their body obeyed the Holy Spirit just as our body obeys our mind. It takes faith to speak in tongues because you don't understand what you're saying. Not supposed to unless He reveals it to you. Some people say, I can't help that, it just slipped out. Well, your mouth disobeyed your brain, your mind. Well, why don't you let your mouth obey the Holy Spirit and just let it slip out? Hallelujah. Dear precious man, he's died and went on to be the Lord. Oh, he wanted to be baptized with the Spirit. It looked like he just got right there. And never did speak in tongues. And then he started feeling condemned about it. I know he could have spoken in tongues. How many people have I heard say that they could have spoken in tongues a long time before they did if they had just let go, you know, praise God. And quick question. Well, if we ask for bread, he won't give us a stone. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? I don't care if it's shaking, running, dancing in the Spirit, or falling out. Praise God. Now, this is one of the most important days in the history of mankind. It is. I know the cross is important, but without this, the cross is not much account to us. You understand that? On the day of Pentecost, this is why Jesus went back to the Father. On the day of Pentecost, that was a dividing line in the history of man. On that day, the wind of the Holy Ghost breathed upon them. All praise that filled all the house, just as Jesus had prophetically breathed upon them earlier. Now the Holy Spirit filled all their bodies, which had been breathed upon, and plus others, by the wind or the breath of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus prophetically told him he would. Has he breathed on you? Now, two things were filled that day by the breath of the Holy Spirit. The first thing that the breath of the Holy Spirit breathed on or in was that house. That house where the followers of Christ were sitting and waiting in obedience. Notice that they were sitting. Do you know in Cornelius' house they were sitting when the Holy Ghost fell on them while he was preaching? The second thing that the breath of the Holy Spirit filled was their bodies, or the physical house of the followers of Christ as they were sitting and waiting in obedience. Now that day, many other prophecies began to be fulfilled on that eventful day in that upper room. They continued to be fulfilled wherever saints seek and wait in obedience on Christ. We are part of that, what happened in that upper room. It continues today. The fire of God began to come and sit upon them. All the followers of Jesus that the Holy Spirit just breathed on, as John the Baptist had prophesied. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist speaks, says, I did baptize you with water to repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. You know, a lot of people, our friends and other denominations, are stuck in the baptism of John. Yeah. Baptism into repentance. They're stuck there. They need to come on and have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Another prophecy that began to be fulfilled was that, you know why they're stuck in it? Because they're going to maintain control of their body. That's why. And they're adamant about it. Years ago, God was really moving in our little church there in Peerless. And can I say the name of the church? I don't know what the Baptist church down the road. Oh, someone was coming over there and visiting, and so he fixed up a flyer, you know, passed out to his church. Why they shouldn't speak in tongues? You know, he got all stirred up. And there was a young Baptist minister in that church. He wasn't a pastor, and he came, and that night he came. We were in our old building, it's a small building, and he was up there and I laid hands on him and God baptized him with the Holy Ghost and he began to speak in tongues so beautiful. All of a sudden he stopped. He stopped. And I thought, what? I looked back at his wife standing back there staring darts at him. Because her daddy was a Baptist preacher. And he turned around and went and sat down. Well, some of the church told me they knew him, and they said, you need to go talk to him. He's having a problem. So I went over there, and he wouldn't even let me in the house. He did before, but he wouldn't now. And he said, now, Brother Benson, my wife has a problem with that. In other words, just go on. It's through. It's over with. I'm not going to do that anymore. My wife has a problem with it. Praise God. Well, the Holy Ghost had a problem with her. Amen. Oh, to think what? Well, that's the story of a lot of people. Now, praise God. So many begin to be fulfilled. Another prophecy began to be fulfilled. They spoke in tongues of fulfillment of prophecy. Praise God. Mark 16:17, and these signs will follow them that believe in my name, they shall speak with new tongues. If you get some of these modern translations, you won't find the last part of Mark chapter 16. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. Or there'll be a note in it. I have one. A new King James has a note in it. The best manuscripts leave this out. That bothered me. I wish I don't like to use it by all those notes in there. When they get through, there's not much left, but I want to tell you what I said. Dates Bible, how many of you knew Dates Bible? Okay, good. Well, I went to looking in his Bible, and you ought to look in there. His answer is awesome. I mean, he gives detailed answer of these manuscripts, how many, it's there. Some of them, there's a space. There's some of them, don't let that bother you. Why are they attacking that part of the Scripture? Because it's an attack on the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, the church wants to replace the Holy Spirit with their programs and all the junk they do that's accomplishing nothing. And the world's laughing at the church. They ignore us. We're just, praise God, in its own fault. Well, in Isaiah 28:11, for with stammering tongues and another language will he speak to these people. Now, I've read some that they say, well, that's somebody when they were captured from foreign countries talking to them. Well, let's read verse 12. Let's read the rest of it. To whom he said, this is the rest which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. We heard about rest last night. Oh, one of the most, if you get anxious, you get nervous, you get angry, you get worried, speak in tongues.
That's right.
It edifies us. It builds us up. I didn't know you could speak in tongues. I want to say this right. At will, basically. At will. I thought you had, please don't misunderstand my terminology, I thought you had to get zapped to speak in tongues. And you never, every time, you know, and so I've met some people that hadn't spoken tongues in a long time, but I'd wait to get zapped. Well, converted Jew came by church one time where I was attending, and I thank God I was there. And he told us, you ought to be speaking in tongues all the time. How is you going to pray without ceasing? And he just opened up that word and explained it to us, and I thought, you know, that's right. I was working in a little Piggly Wiggly store. I mean, anybody's ever heard of Piggly Wiggly? I hate that place. And I wore the clock out looking for it. And on Thursday afternoon, I was the only one awake in there. Literally, the only one awake. The old bachelor that owned it was up there snoring in his office. His brother was a butcher, was sitting on a butcher block, snoring with his fly swatter in his hand. Their old maid's sister was asleep. And only me and one other lady weren't family, and she was asleep, and that's how it was, and I couldn't stand the place. Well, this man, after I heard this evangelist, now here's what I had to do. I had to tie a ribbon around my finger, literally, to remember to do this. I had to. It's okay to. I write a note, and thought, some don't believe in writing on yourself, but so let's tie the ribbon. And I begin to, every time I see it, I speak in tongues. Well, how do you know it's God? Well, he won't give me a stone. That's why I know. And sometimes you start, you know, and he comes along. And so I begin to pray. I learned that I could have church for 8 hours. The first thing I knew, it's time to go home. I wasn't watching the clock anymore. I was refreshed. I was edified by speaking in tongues. I want to encourage you to do that. If you're suffering anything, praise God, speak in tongues. Oh, hallelujah. Worship Him in the Spirit, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you probably know all that. And one more prophecy I want to point out is that when the Holy Spirit breathed upon them, they began to prophesy. I thank God that there was a prophetic word this morning. I believe when we really are worshiping, it will give Him space. Which that's done here, and I thank God. It will give him space, he'll speak. That should be the result of our worship. If we're really worshiping God, the gifts of the Spirit are to begin to move. If you're going to church where they don't give the Holy Spirit place, you need to get out of that place. You need to go somewhere to let the Holy Spirit have His way. I've sat in a lot of meetings, and I knew it was time for the Holy Spirit to move. I mean, it was there, and they wouldn't let Him. They're afraid of Him. They don't want to lose control. There was a group of churches sprang up in our area at one time. Once. Say the name, it's all, they're known, someone still has the same name. And you couldn't give a prophetic word or couldn't give a message in tongues unless you went and gave it to one of the elders first. And then they would decide whether or not you could give it. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I know this is right in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I know that chapter pretty well. First thing that I grew up in this, I knew that wasn't the way you do it. I knew that wasn't. But it says there, you go ahead and process it because it's spontaneous. The gifts of the Spirit are, I know there are times He gives you a word and you have to wait till the time. Okay, I understand that. But in a worship service, usually it's then. If it's for the congregation, if it's for an individual, you might should wait. And then the other prophets will judge you. And if we have that check and balance going on, then I say it's going to cut down on a lot of things. If we will have that, praise God. In Acts 2, we hear them speak through the letter. This is the crowd saying this. We do hear them speak in our tongues, our languages, the wonderful works of God. That's what prophesying, part of what prophesying is. The gift of prophecies for exhortation, comfort, and edification. And when if you're being prayed for and someone comes and gives you a word, prophesies to you, that ought to be there. It's what it's for. I used to think that when God first started using me and I give someone a word, I said, okay, that's your word for the month. You go do it on your own now. And God had to correct me. There are people in all of us sometimes, we see one every time we come to church. We need that, praise God. And it's okay. There are people in my church that God has I've noticed, see, because I'm just giving what He says. I'm the delivery man, the mailman, so to speak. And it seems like every time He talks to them, it's along the same line. You know why? Because they haven't got it yet. And it's just, some of it's been going on for years. There's a one Swedish young lady, so sweet in our church. And she's so down on herself, and she's been so mistreated, and things have been, and she's a beautiful girl. And it seems like every time the Lord wants to tell her how beautiful she is, and how He loves her, and how special she is, and she'll stand there begin to weep and cry and get blessed, and I tell you, that's what the Lord has to say to her. She needs that. And someday it's going to catch hold. Someday she's going to climb out of that pit that some people put her, mostly her parents put her in. Praise God. Now, their prophesying is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, which is mentioned by Peter a little later in this chapter. Now, it was their bodies that were filled with the Holy Spirit. And as they yielded their bodies to Him, they did things. That is, 1 Corinthians 14:23 says that the unlearned or unbelievers always consider to be actions of drunk people or mad or crazy people. Why do we care what they think? He didn't say don't do it because they'll think that necessarily. We don't worry about what they think. Praise God. If we ever start that, we have effectively shut the Holy Spirit down. And you better pull your programs out, go to some seminars and learn how to do some things because you've lost it. And this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, foolish things, weak things, base things, things that are despised, that no flesh should glory in His presence. I'd be crazy to speak in tongues. You know what I'm saying? If I didn't know it was God. I have too much pride to do that. Every time you speak in tongues, it's a miracle. You hear me? You're speaking a language you never learned. It's a miracle. I just wish I could see a miracle. Bless your little heart, speak in tongues then. Every time you prophesy, give a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I was preaching in the church one time, and Well, in our church, I didn't know anybody. And the first thing I don't have to meet guys turned off. There's these women sitting there in their shorts and look like they just came from the ball game. Maybe they did. I don't know. And it's like when you... never mind. But she's... so they're sitting there and I'm so disturbed I can't hardly preach to them. And not only that happened, I was back in the nursery with two kids. And I told them, go get the rest of the people in this place and tell them to come in here. If you don't like it, I won't come back. And I didn't say that, but so they finally came very reluctantly, and so I'm praying for them. And here's how it works: the devil said, "You don't know these people. You don't know anything. How are you gonna prophesy to them?" But then if you know them and you prophesy, what does the devil say? You already knew that. I mean, it's games he's playing with you. So I was. I gave her a word from the Lord, and a lot of times when the Lord gives you a word, you're arguing with it. Oh God, I don't think so. Not what I know, you know. But so she went on out, and it's kind of closing down a little while. Here she come back, and she come right to me, tears streaming down her face. She said, "You don't know anything about me, but everything he said is exactly right." And it, you know, it's not like she got healed of tuberculosis or something, you know, her leg got lengthened. I knew a lady, her mother went to our church, and one day she calls, "I got my miracle." "You did? That's good." "Yeah, I got my miracle." I said, "What was it?" She said, "My leg was lengthened." She said, "I didn't know it was shorter, but they said it was, and they lengthened it." And she said, "The only thing I can think about is one time I stepped down in the garage. I kind of stumbled a little bit." Okay, praise God. Uh-oh, I just get quiet. "Are y'all doing that around here? Are y'all lengthening the legs around here?" It can happen. But I feel like this. Oh, I hope I didn't say something wrong. I feel like this. If your leg's short, one leg's shorter than you're going to know it. I think you're going to have some kind of something that you know about. Praise God, and you don't have to be told. It's like you don't have to be told you're saved. You'll know you're saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please receive that with them. I don't want to offend or anything. Please receive that right. I feel like I got myself in trouble. Okay, I'm okay. All right, praise God. Go on, man. Find something else here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, Acts 2:12. When I used to have red hair, I turned this red with my hair. Thank you, Jesus. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" Others mocking said, "They're full of new wine." And that, you know what, our churches today, that's probably true of some of them. They probably are. I was sitting beside our district superintendent in a meeting, and he's talking, and he said a certain Bible school we had in Waxahachie, he said, "It's producing more ministers than any of our other 11, I think." And he was saying, and the reason why is, I asked him why, and he said, "Well, one of them, I hope nobody watches this show or listen to it." He said, "One of them in California, the young ministers won't go ahead and get their credentials because they have an issue with our prohibition of drinking. And they have some issues with, I forget the other, but they have issues with some things. And so they won't do it." It's my opportunity. And I said, "Well, would you say that our Bible schools and our professors have hijacked this denomination?" He said, "Exactly. Exactly." I wish I hadn't went on that. But it's becoming a problem. It really is. I want to just stand here and tell you right, it's still wrong to drink. It's wrong to drink. And if you're drinking, you need to quit drinking. God help. That is the deception of the devil. But Peter's standing up in the left and lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you and listen to my words. These are anointed words he is speaking. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing this is but the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh of the ones that will receive. Not everybody has got the Holy Ghost, you know that. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Prophesy. You know what Moses said? When there was one outside the camp that was prophesying, and if I remember, I believe it was Joshua came to him and complained about it. You want me to go stop him? He said, no. Would to God all God's people prophesy? What's he saying? If they all prophesy, my job would be a whole lot easier. Pastors, teach it, you get what you teach. If you preach it, teach it, and they'll start prophesying, they have a lot less problems in that church. Because it's really hard. Now, if it's genuine and people are prophesying in private and prophesying, you know, if you can't prophesy in private, you need to be quiet in public. But if you get them to prophesy and let God do it, it'll make everything better. That's what Moses said. Would to God all God's people. And what did Paul, the Apostle Paul, say? He said, especially that you prophesy. Better that you prophesy. Where has that gone to? Why isn't that happening? Praise God. Does the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, he has nothing to say? Or I wouldn't say all of a sudden. I've watched this thing, folks. I've watched it diminish. I grew up in it. I know what used to happen. And we were kind of a liberal church, you know, as far as I look back and realize that now. But, I mean, the gifts of the Spirit were operating in there. Except this one lady gave a blood-curdling scream. And all those kids would scare us to death. And I don't think that was all of us. I'm telling you the truth. She did that. And maybe, I don't know. I just don't know where the value of that was. Except to scare us kids. But I'm not trying to be funny. I'm really not. And on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They shall. It's the best gift. I believe it is. See, in earnest of the best gifts, I believe it is the best gift. And if that's been a mystery to you all your life, you didn't know what it was, and now you know. I believe it's the best gift. Most of the other gifts, most of them operate through that gift. And when one gift, you rarely ever would have one gift operating by itself. They're always going to be in tandem. Praise God. And the other prophets judged. Now, what happened on the day of Pentecost was the fulfillment of what Joel had prophesied about 800 years before. On this day, the day of Pentecost, the promise of the Father was fulfilled in the lives of men and women that believed on the name of Jesus and obeyed Him. In John 7:37, Jesus, in the last day, it says that the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." Drinking is a physical activity of the body. It's more than just our spirit drinking. You've got to let your body drink. I know you might not understand what I'm talking about. But you've got to let your body drink. Drinking is the Holy Ghost. So how do I do that? Same way you do your spirit. Say, God, I give you my body. I offer my body up to you. You do what you want to do. Praise God. If you're intimidated or you're timid or whatever, go get in your prayer closet somewhere and practice this. I was reading this book, Martha Wayne Robinson. And there was a man, he became a great pastor later, but he was a young minister. And when the Holy Ghost came on, he'd do violent, you know, just shake violently or moan or laugh violently. And finally someone came up to him and said, "You need to pray and ask God for that to stop." Well, what was it? He was being offended by it. And just like people were offended because Lazarus was raised from the dead, anytime the Holy Ghost moves carnal, people are offended. And so he went and asked Sister Robinson that. And she said, oh, no, I wouldn't pray that at all.
No.
She said, now what you might do is ask God that you don't do it in the wrong place. You know, just pray and ask God that you do it in the proper place at the proper time. But don't ever ask God to stop anything. You know what? You can ask God to stop it and find out that it's gone.
That's right.
And you have a battle recovering. There was a lady in the church, Sister Waffle, Betty Waffle, went on to be with the Lord a long time ago. She was in her 50s, had a heart attack. And I don't understand that. But she would, I thank God for the church I grew up in. And they'd get to singing, and you know, some would get those hankies out and sing that a long time, or some of you may never saw it. But they'd get that handkerchief out, and they'd get out in the aisle and praise God and dance a little bit. And it was almost like if two or three of the worshipers weren't there, we weren't going to have church, basically. You know what I'm talking about. There was another lady, a black lady, Lois Morgan, and a great evangelist, a woman of God. And in her church, some things happened, and a lot of people left, and the ones that were left complained and said, well, our service is not that good anymore. But what had happened, the worshipers left. And they were complaining, and okay, you probably complained when they were there.
Yeah.
But, I didn't realize, I mean, I didn't notice, but for a long time she wasn't giving a message in tongues. And finally God began to use her again about 6 months later, and she stood up and confessed to the church. She said, I got to thinking that if I wasn't here, there couldn't be a message in tongues. I'm the official message in tongues giver. And you couldn't have, it wasn't going to happen, and God shut me down. Has God ever shut you down? And so she repented and sought God and began to use her again. Thank God he did. Praise God. But he had to deal with her. He had to deal with her. Thank God he deals with his ministers. And he cares more about his ministers than he does about... I just want to say this, God is not a user. Now, he uses us, but he's not a user. And he cares about you personally. Listen to me. He's interested in you, not just what you can do for him. And if it takes whatever... He wants you to make heaven with or without your ministry. And you can make heaven without ever preaching another sermon.
Amen.
Praise God. This one time I had two ministers in the church because they lost their churches and they were all going to be on the street. One of them actually had a travel trailer and he wanted to hide it behind the church because the bank was looking for it. And the others, they were going to be on the street and I helped them get a house to live in. I didn't know after they got there they were conniving behind my back, you know. But all they ever talked about was their next church, when they were going to get a church, and they were doing the positive confession thing, and they were doing all that, and going to get another church. And one Wednesday night, the Lord laid it on my heart, and I got up to my priest, and I said, what are you going to do if God never gives you another church? They got mad at me. They got angry, wouldn't speak to me. One time, they didn't have a phone, and so our phone, and somebody called and talked to one of them. I had to walk down that house, and they were both in. I walked up. I heard a lot. I wish they had heard it about me. Thank you, Jesus. Well, they moved on. Praise God. And there's some sad parts of that story, but I'm going to tell you that. Well, glory to God. Now, Luke 24:49, I'm not getting very far in this, but... And behold, Jesus speaking, I send the promise of my Father on you. On you. But tarry in the city of on your body. Tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And this is why Christians and churches are powerless and have turned to substitutes. Because the power is gone. The power is gone. I was sitting in a very large church in TBN, I was it now. Well, there in 183 in Dallas, and before this church owned it. And I was there for the dedication service, and Jimmy Swagger was there to dedicate it. And the pastor stood up and said, I just feel like something awesome is going to happen tonight. And I, praise God, I'm in the right place. The only awesome thing I saw that night was electric curtains move back and reveal the choir. I'm telling you, I'm being serious with you. I'm telling you the truth. Praise God. Is that all we're down to now? Our buildings and our programs and our stuff we're doing and our dinners and our fundraising and where's the power? There used to be a commercial, where's the beef or where's the meat, whichever. Well, where's the power? Praise God. Don't sit there and be critical of your church. What are you doing? Now, you pray and see God begins to move on you and you're yielding to Him in the service and they shut you down and go somewhere else. Praise God. God doesn't expect you to stay there in that place. Praise God. Well, Acts 1:4, and Jesus being assembled together with them, commanded them that should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you've heard of me. You can't hurry this up. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, there was at that time, there was no such thing as a follower of Christ or a church that was not baptized with the Holy Spirit. We have to understand there's no option, no choice, no exception. The New Testament was written to a Spirit-baptized church. And you have to, when you read it, you have to understand that. But you've got people that are not spirit baptized trying to claim those things. And say that it includes it. No, it doesn't. There was a division. Some believe in speaking in tongues and some don't. No, it was all that. When you being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you were expected. That was part of the package. It went with it. You didn't get saved and then decide if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's why in Acts 19, the Apostle Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I know the modern translations change a lot of those words. It's like Acts 1:8. And Jesus said, you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. They'll change it to when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Well, some of the moderns say, for me. And I heard a preacher one night preach about we're witness for Him, we're witness for Him. You ain't going to do anything for God unless the Holy Spirit does it through you.
That's right.
And here's what He's saying. Unto me, you're going to be what I am to this world. And by doing that, the work will be done. Being what He is, praise God. But you can't be what He is unless you're with Him. Oh, praise God. Now, Acts 2:32, and Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we're all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He shed forth this, which you now see in here. Some tend to forget that there was things that they saw happen, not just heard. Yes, they heard Him speak to them, but they saw something and they said they're drunk. They were acting some way, folks. Praise God. When the Holy Spirit is resident in us, He's been shed forth in us, then He's going to shed forth the love of God within us. The 120 in the upper room didn't just sit still and quietly speak in tongues for a few minutes, perhaps with a little smile on their face. I saw that in the movie. I forgot the name of it, but you can read them. And it's a series of the Bible or something. And they showed that. And I thought, I always want to see. In fact, if I'm picking up a new translation, I turned to Acts 2:4 and some of those and see how they interpret that. You know, so much of personal opinion gets in these interpretations. And so they did it, and it was really interesting. It's kind of cute. And there's one over here, and they'd speak in tongues a little bit, smile on their face, and he'd stop. And one over here, speak in tongues a little bit, and he'd stop. And it's just so sweet. That's not what went on. It was violent, what went on in that upper room. There was fire. There was the Holy Ghost. There was wind blowing. I believe they all speaking in tongues at the same time. And I believe it was powerful what went on in that room. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's okay. What happened in the other room and still happens when the Holy Ghost breathes on human bodies was more than just a teaching or training session. It was more than just an attitude adjustment. It was more than just a badge. You know, oh, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I have arrived. But what are you doing with it? I don't think we give this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit the full credit and the importance it's due. I tell you, God's not doing anything except by the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, the church is sunk. It's all by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, folks. And He's doing the work He's doing through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brooded over the face of the waters. And if He'll brood over you and your church, some things will change. Praise God. You don't just need a new program. Our presbyter, if I remember right what he's saying, he was assistant pastor or under pastor, and that pastor tried this program and it fizzled out and he'd find a new one. And oh, he'd come and every time he'd come, I found it. This is it. This was going to work. Praise God. None of them work. You can get a crowd together and raise some money. And hallelujah. I believe that every possible manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit upon a human body took place in that upper room. Just like I believe every demon in hell was at Calvary. I believe they were. I believe every manifestation took place. We know they all spoke in tongues. I believe some fell out on the power of God. Some ran, some danced, some shook, some wept or laughed, and perhaps all sang in tongues. He said, well, just why do you think that's important? Because the Holy Spirit believes it's important. Because He says it's important. Give Him your body. And that's when you talk like that, you're just defending your pride is all you're doing. And I want to tell you that right now, straightforward. And you need to humble yourself and you need to be broken and contrite before God. Don't worry. I don't want to do that. Don't worry. You're not going to do it until you allow Him to break you. I tell you what, a broken and contrite spirit will solve a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be possessed by the Spirit, which is more than the human body can contain. Without some sort of reaction of release. Whatever they did in an instant, their lives were changed forever. They were never the same again. I realize as a growing up to Christ in all things, that a process that takes a lifetime. I know that. That's what's happening in us. But this was an instantaneous transforming experience of epic proportions. It's what starts you on the journey. Praise God. It starts you on the journey. Well, glory to God. I'm going to stop there because I've got just a few minutes. I want to pray for some folks. And this morning, thank you. Could we just thank the Lord? Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that you spoke to our hearts, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you care. God, you love the church. Oh, how you love the church. Jesus, you died. You gave yourself for the church. You're the head of the church. You said if we just love our wives like you love the church. Oh, hallelujah. You love the church. You love the church. Your eyes always on your church. You protect your church. The devil can't do anything to the church. I've gone to individuals and collective without your permission. Oh, praise God. The church, praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. I want to do this. I was watching the folks that are working in here this morning. How hard they're working, and it just, I feel impressed to pray for them. And I don't think they're all in here, but if somebody could go find the rest of them, please, and ask them to just come in for a few minutes. We can wait a few minutes to eat. We need to, these folks need prayer. They need prayer.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.